I'm going to borrow heavily from one of Jim's booklets back there that's called God is a Loving Father, Not an Angry Judge. If you're like me, I'm kind of guessing you're like me because we're all humans. I'm constantly having to refresh myself on that particular thought. I would kind of, part of me thinks, man, I've been coming here for since 1991 or something, and I still have to sit down and reflect and remind myself that God is a loving Father, not an angry judge. I mean, in a nutshell, he's after relationship first and then performance. Of course God wants performance. Everybody wants performance. Right? That's just being in accordance with goodness. That's just living in accordance with goodness. Nobody wants to say, yeah, I just hate goodness. I hate, you know, loving people. That's, of course not. The issue is when we put that behavioral thing in front of everything else. And, you know, I mean, I see it in myself. I mean, even with my own children, whom I love more than my own life, I think. I would gladly sacrifice anything for them. And yet, I see that, you know, when they are off in a ditch somewhere of their own choosing, man, I just get so mad at them, I don't want to be around them. I want them to just go away somewhere and go do your thing somewhere else and not right in front of my nose. Okay? Just being a little honest here. And then, of course, my wife is, as usual, she's the true Christian in our family. And she's just loving on them, you know, regardless. She really just does. And it shames me. Not in some, you know, not in some deep, dark way, but I'm just saying, I just go, wow, that's the real thing. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what God really wants. That's the way God is towards us. So, you know, when I see myself that way with my kids, it makes me also realize that I still have issues with thinking God is that way towards me. So, you know, that's why I'm saying I have to always be renewing my mind. Maybe that's what that verse means. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Just renewing yourself to the fact that God is for you. He's not looking for a way to beat on you. Now, I have the kind of, I mean, I'm an engineer by schooling, and I've read that engineers and accountants, they have, if you know, they're kind of, their personalities are kind of where they are good at spotting flaws. And in anything, you know, anything mechanical, or then it carries over to people, you know, but they're good at spotting flaws and knowing what should be done to prevent or fix that. And, you know, now maybe everybody's like that, but I would have to say, yeah, that would, you know, I fit that category, you know. I mean, everything at work is about preventing failure. Because, you know, you're talking about fighter aircraft that move at 700-800 miles per hour, maybe. That's one little flaw and you're a goner. One little oops, and I mean, you have like a split second really to react. And so, yeah, we're always having to make sure. Safety is one of my, that's one of my particular, my job description. That's my, one of my main things is to ensure safety. So, where was I going there? I'm good at spotting flaws, so maybe, you know, I think, like, I'm not trying to pick on Deborah, but she's so much the other way. She's just so compassionate and is willing to see the good in somebody first, you know, and I'm just kind of like, man, you know, I just don't do it that way. I'm very thankful for her witness in my life. Okay, so it has been said that if you study philosophy, there's all, you know, they study everything. I mean, they look at everything, politics and, well, I mean, what is being and what is knowing and, you know, political philosophy. There's just, I mean, you name it. There's, but really, it all sums up into who is God? When you really get it all summarized, all the philosophers are talking about is God. They're just like us. They're just like everybody else. They're just trying to apply more thought to it, critical thinking, blah, blah. And that's good. I like that. I personally really love that stuff. But so the one question, though, is God a loving father or an angry judge? And that's brought out very clearly in Jim's booklet. That's the question. You get that question right, everything follows right. You get it wrong, everything follows wrong. And so that's really where your attention should be put. And I believe all men and women, mankind, have a rational intuition of God. All people, once it's pointed out to them that some mind is responsible for all this order and regularity and harmony and things that we see in the world, in the created world, so there's got to be a mind behind that. Or also from your moral conscience. Just the fact that you recognize that some things are just wrong. Absolutely wrong. Always have been wrong. Always will be wrong. It's never a function of culture. So, you know, murder is wrong. The intentional killing of an innocent person, that's wrong. Premeditated. Murder is premeditated. So that's wrong. You can't justify it. Everybody knows that. As soon as you point it out to somebody, they know it. A little kid. They may not know it, you know, from birth. It's not like buried in their mind, but it's once they're taught it, they've caught it. Stealing is wrong, etc. We can see that. I've got some scriptures laid out here in this handout. We can see that in Romans 1, 19 and 20. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So I don't care if you're, you know, from the most educated parts of Europe or the most primitive parts of wherever, some jungle somewhere, South America or, I don't know, Africa, I don't know. But you see something of God. Everybody sees it. Everybody has something in them that's I call it a rational intuition. It's not irrational, but it's not totally thought out either. It's just kind of there, and you see it. And I think in most cultures before Moses, before the Ten Commandments were given, it's hazy. It's kind of fuzzy. It's not like crystal clear. Some cultures have some of the ten. Some other culture will have some other part of the ten. But when you start looking at cultures all over, and there you can see then there is a pattern. There is a sort of group of ten. And laws of nature, not like physics laws, but laws of moral nature that everybody sees. And if they don't see one, as soon as you teach them about it, they see it. That's called the natural law. So that's a long tradition of philosophy, is to recognize that as being what's called the natural law. One book I've read, it's called What You Cannot Not Know. What You Can't Not Know. It's just in you. Not from birth necessarily, but from first teaching. And so that's kind of, you know, because of our fallen natures, though, we interpret that to mean thou shalt nots. It's just God is a guy who gives you thou shalt nots. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. And it's, we interpret all that in a God is an angry judge kind of way. That is our sort of natural default way of looking at it. Because we're born without the Holy Spirit. We're born incomplete. So in that sense, we're evil. What I mean by that is being, if God is unlimited being, and I believe he is, God is unlimited being, and every other being is limited. Every other being, you can be an angel, you can be a person, a human, you can be an animal, you can be a plant, you can be an inorganic substance, like a water molecule. Okay, those are all beings. And they all have some, they are all in some little way an image of God. Man is the most blessed. He is a more, much more true image of God because he has personhood. A man does, a personhood, a human does. They have intellect, they have will, they have the ability to have a relationship with God. So my way of looking at it is being is good. Non-being, nothingness, is either an intentional lack or it's evil. So what I mean by that is, okay, I'm a man, I'm limited. I don't have all the perfections that God has. So I'm limited. But that's an intentional limitation. That's by design. Whereas if I'm blind, that's an evil, because I'm meant to have sight. It's intentional that I have sight, but for some reason I don't. So that is a kind of evil. I'm just saying evil is not a thing. Evil is really a lack of a thing. It's a privation. You're supposed to have something and you don't have it. That's how I look at evil. Okay. I'm getting way ahead of myself here. But anyway, I believe being is good. And what I mean by good is not necessarily moral good. I just mean it's a good thing. God said, it's good when he created. He looked at all his creation and said, it is good. In other words, it's good, really, because God made it. You are good. Not more. I'm not talking morals. I'm talking just you are good in the fact that you are a creation of God. You're not a nothing. You know, God invests value in you because he made you and said it is good. So, that's why he loves you. Independent of your behavior. Now, your behavior is important, and he does want that, but why does he want that? Because it's good for you. It's not because he needs it for himself. He does not need your behavior for himself. He's perfectly self-satisfied. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need our behavior. He doesn't need our love. He doesn't need any of that. He's completely self-contained. But he is love, and love spills over. And love is gratuitous and generous and gives more than it has to. And he wants to pour that into his creation. And especially in his human man creation, because that is the one created or creature that can receive him in a very intimate way. Even angels can't receive God in an intimate way. Certainly not animals, and certainly not plants, and certainly not rocks. Only humans have that unique blessing. So I try to remind myself a lot that I don't love somebody based on their behavior. I love somebody because they are a creation of God, and a very unique creation of God, and they have the potential for being a vessel of God, for carrying God from one person to another person. It doesn't matter what their current state is, because God can change that in a second. God can take somebody from the pit of hell, so to speak, and change them into a true carrier, vessel of the Holy Spirit, of himself. Okay. I've completely blown my outline. So the Ten Commandments were given to Moses and the Jews, and I would say that is a very good crystallization of the natural law. All cultures throughout time and place have recognized those ten statutes, even the ones about worshiping God. They may not know who God is, but they know there's a God who deserves to be worshipped, who's way beyond anything we can figure out, responsible for this entire creation, and deserves some kind of respect for that. So they, even whatever, Buddhist, Zen, Tao, it doesn't matter. Hindu, they all see that. They just see it blindly. And so, you know, God crystallized that in, I believe, in the Ten Commandments and Moses. So the Jews had an advantage. They were able to get all of that natural law in a more succinct and clear form, but it was still incomplete because Moses is a prophet, and the priest, Aaronic priest, and Davidic king parts of God's nature had not really been expressed yet. And then, of course, the Aaronic priesthood came later, and that's another aspect of God that was revealed. And of course, the Davidic kingdom, the Davidic reign, victory over God's enemies, that kind of thing, came later than that. But all of that, as good as it was still inferior, because they were just types of the true prophet, priest, and king, who is Jesus. Jesus came and fulfilled all of that. So the Christian has really the fullest revelation of the law, but that revelation is not just thou shalt nots. That revelation is before that, more important than that, is receive the forgiveness, have a relationship with God, and reign, be a king in that way. Not a political victory so much as a victory over sin, and a victory over the devil, and a victory over the world system, and a victory over your own self. Just to conquer yourself is the starting point, the most important. So, John 1:17. Oh, you know that what I called the natural law is, a lot of theologians will call that general revelation. Like if you read Calvinist books, they'll call it the general revelation, as opposed to special revelation is when Jesus came. The revelation of Jesus is the special revelation. I agree with that. I think that's right. All men have the general revelation. Not all men have the special revelation of Jesus. So, John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So one aspect of God, the law, came through Moses. But Jesus goes further and reveals more about God in grace and truth. And we know from Paul's writings that it was an intermediate step to make us see how sinful we really are. It was just a tutor to lead us to God, to see that, oh yeah, we cannot do this. We just cannot do this. So, as I said, the one question to really answer in this life is, what do you say about God? Is he a loving father, or is he an angry judge? And I like this verse in Luke that clarifies for me how important it is. Luke 11:34, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. When your eye is clear and you've got light that you're looking at, the light of God's love and grace and mercy, and that he is a God of relationship first, a God who values you, a God who loves his creation, that's when your whole body, everything in your life is good. I'm not talking about circumstances, I'm just talking about everything internally is good. You're where you should be. If you get that thing wrong, if your eye is dark, your whole body is dark. Okay. Jesus reveals the true inner God. You could say, in a way, that Moses And primitive peoples had a sort of external, extrinsic knowledge of God. You know, it's from the outside. It's just based on my own ability to understand. But Jesus reveals God's inner true nature, his Trinity nature, his love of mankind nature, his love of his creation nature. He gets to the real deep parts of God. He is God. So he's able to do that. So we must continually renew our minds to the true nature of God, which is loving Father. That's his true nature, loving Father. I love being a dad. Okay? I just love it. Maybe not the teenage years so much, but no, I'm just kidding. But I really love, I mean, that's like, that's the highest and the best to me. I don't really care about career. I never have. I don't care about making lots of money. I never have. I don't know. I just want to be a father. I love it. I love being a husband. I love being a father. And it has taught me in very certain moments what God, you know, some little picture of what God must feel like towards us. You know, just, you know, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more so God to his children? Those little moments. You know what I'm talking about. They just got you. Your kids just, there's, you know, it does something to you. So we must continually renew our minds to the true nature of God. God is a loving Father. Even though our strong tendency is to see God the other way. So we're, it's like, okay, I work on F-16 at Lockheed. That plane is now 45 years old, something like that. It's the most successful jet fighter in all of history. Over 5,000 of them sold worldwide. And it's still going, and we're still selling them because they're still packed with lots of power. Anyway, that's my pitch for the F-16. I hope to ride it to retirement. I don't want to get on another one of those other... We make 3 airplanes, right? 16, 22, and 35. I don't care about those other ones. But it's a what they call a fly-by-wire airplane. Instead of having mechanical linkages for the rudders and the ailerons and the flapperons and all that, it's all by electronics wiring. That was a new thing back in the 70s. And its natural tendency is to be unstable. It just, if you let off the controls, it just wants to dive. Well, that turns out, that's by design, that makes it very maneuverable. It's able to just react quickly and, you know, do maneuvers. And that turns out to be a huge advantage in air-to-air combat. So you have to, the pilot has to, and the mission computer has to purposely, you know, fight that tendency and steer it in any given direction, more so than prior airplanes. Well, that's kind of the way we are. Well, that's the way I am. That's the way I am. My natural tendency is to just dive and see God as angry judge. After all these years, it's still, I have to fight that. I have to fight that with the truth. You know, the truth being in the scriptures. If you don't have to do that, count yourself very blessed. Count yourself very blessed. If you don't have to continually battle that thing in your head. So I've mentioned before that you know, in my journey as a Christian, you know, and when I first became a Christian, I was just kind of, you're probably pretty typical. I just kind of went wherever they pointed me. You know, I didn't really know what was going on. I don't think I even realized that Jesus was resurrected when I first became a Christian. I didn't put all that together. I just knew he died for my sins. Although I knew he was alive because I was praying to him, but I didn't put that together. Like, well, if he died and now I'm praying to him, he must be alive. You know? Not real bright. But then I came across this set of books and group of people, and I won't name them, but that were really into Charles Finney theology. And man, he was very logical. He was a lawyer, and he's just very logical. And I read it, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is so right. This is so true. And but what it boiled, and I'm I think around 20 years old, I think, but it just boiled down to borderline Pelagianism. If you know what Pelagianism is, it was a guy, Pelagius was a guy in the 400s, and he had battles with St. Augustine. But he basically said, I don't believe, you know, because Augustine kind of formulated the doctrine of original sin, and Pelagius came along and said, I don't believe that. You have everything you need to God's word and obey.